We're studying the idea of the seal and the contrast of the seal of God versus the seal of the Antichrist. And it's a seal on the forehead. And we found out that the angels have been commanded not to hold back the wind until the servants of God are sealed in their foreheads. In the Greek, it's in a tense, the verb tense is, it'd be very easy for an angel to come along and seal your forehead. I mean, that's no, you know, one angel killed 187,000 Assyrians. I mean, he could just come along and wipe Angela's forehead out, just seal it, just like that, right? But again, what God wants Angela to participate in the sealing of her forehead so that the fruit will be someone who has the mind of God. And that's what discipleship is about. Discipleship is about knowing what God wants before he tells you. That's the end result of discipleship. And it's the mark of the angel versus the mark of the Antichrist. And the biggest contrast is grace versus cause and effect. Speaking it and then remaining under versus wanting it and going after it, even in your imaginations. For those of you that didn't hear, every time you start planning stuff in your mind and making all these little dealies in your mind, you're giving Satan a hand job. I'm sure you wanted to hear that again, but I want you to keep that in your mind. It's so disgusting, it ranks right up there with what it means to be sincere. Right? Now, so we looked at Revelation 13 the last time we were together about the idea that the seal of God, it's those that die in the Lord and they rest from their labors and their works do follow them instead of their works leading them. And God provided us with a living example of that kind of rebellion, and then it's hopefully softening of that rebellion. And
what is there to rebel about? Either the sealing is happening, or you mean the sealing is happening. So
yeah, but
it's like what you're saying about being wanting to be a participant.
You have to be a participant in your own sealing. You know, you have to have presented yourself a living sacrifice, learning the meaning of contentment, learning the meaning of obedience. That's part of the process of being sealed. The angel sees it because the angel's out of time. He sees it, boom. We are in time. We see it as 20 years of putting up with all kinds of shit.
So that's why we're saying that if God keeps his hands on you, then but if he takes his hands off, then you get sealed by.
What happens then is then you're left to your own devices. Your own devices are cause and effect.
Yeah, and then you're throwing free will type of stuff in there, aren't you?
No. You're just throwing the will of, there's only the will of God or the will of Satan. You're not even in the ball game.
Right.
The will of Satan has to be seen by the grace of God to be brought to your own worst fears coming upon
you. And at
that
point, you're participating in the sealing
of Satan. Okay? Everybody got that clear?
No. I thought there was just the will of God, and he used Satan the way he wants.
There's the will of God and the will of Satan.
But the will of Satan is the will of God.
Right.
To test.
But in your, at any given moment in time, you, because if God's outside of time, the will of God's outside of time. At any moment in time, you may be participating in the will of God or the will of Satan.
Like it's God's will that Satan be in opposition to him.
Satan's just means the opposer. It's God's will that there be an opposition.
And he uses Satan to test us.
Right. Jeremiah 3. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's wife, she shall return unto her again. Shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. In other words, he's contrasting. No matter how many times you've screwed up, God says, return. repent, come to me now. Lift up thine eyes into the high places and see where thou hast not been lain with. In other words, who haven't, not look up in the high place and see who you've committed adultery with. Look under the high place and try to tell me who you haven't committed adultery with. You got it? Lift up thine eyes into the high places and see where thou hast not been lain with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. And again, remember, what is the whoredom? What is the fornication? What is the adultery?
Going
somewhere else for your sustenance.
Yeah, but you were really close.
Therefore, the showers have been withholden, and there has been no latter rain. And thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Now, do any of you doubt that you have a whore's forehead?
When they say forehead there, what does that?
The way you think. The forehead is always the place of the mind, where your emotions, your will, your thought processes.
That's even that part of the brain is right here.
Thou hast a whore's forehead. Does anybody doubt that? Can everybody say they have a whore's forehead? Huh?
They have a
whore's
forehead.
They?
They have four horse heads.
Thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, My Father, thou art the God of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and did evil things as thou couldest. In other words, he's saying, if you know this, then what's your excuse for keeping on? Do you think the mercy is going to last forever? Do you think that isn't there going to come a time when it's going to be cut? That's why we must live our lives as if the next 5 minutes are going to be the end. Otherwise, we can con ourselves constantly into playing the whore's game. Understand that? The Lord said unto me, In the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, After she had done all these things, Turn thou unto me, but she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And now you remember, you probably, maybe you don't remember because you never taught it, but the 10 northern tribes are called Israel. The 2 southern tribes are called Judah. The 10 northern tribes have been always the metaphor for the Israel after the flesh. Judah is the 2 tribes that had to do with Jerusalem, and it's Benjamin and Judah. Benjamin was responsible for the temple and the maintenance and protection of the temple. Judah was responsible for the maintenance and protection of the bloodline. The 10 northern tribes disappeared long before Christ's coming. They disappeared to reveal to us that it was never Israel after the flesh, that Israel was just a metaphor. The 2 southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, were the only ones that remained at the time of Christ and for many years. But now he's saying that Judah learned from the whoredoms of Israel. You got it? You know what? That's where the word Jew comes from. Judah, Yehuda. That's why we get the word Jew. A Jew is from the tribe of either Judah or Benjamin. A Jew isn't from the tribes of the 10 northern tribes. Anyway, that's too complicated. And I said, after she had done all these things, Turn thou unto me, but she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away. and given her a bill of divorcement, or divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. So God is saying he divorced Israel, cut her off. Boom, gone forever, the 10 northern tribes. And Judah didn't learn anything. Why? And if all that happened as an example so that you might see, then what are you seeing from it? Are you dismissing this as ancient history? Or seeing it as what you do 24 hours a day? Have you learned nothing from watching the transgressions of Israel and the transgressions of Judah? And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not returned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. Feignedly means with hypocrisy. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than the treacherous Judah. Now remember now that all of this has started from the whore's forehead. That's why we're studying the sealing of the forehead. That's why the progression of once you get into cause and effect, once you go someplace else for your sustenance, then this is the progression. Now God is going to give you and show you the opportunity to return back and participate in the sealing by God of your forehead, not the sealing of the Antichrist. That's what the next few verses are about. Go and proclaim these words toward the north. What is towards the north? What is north? What is north? Bingo. North is always towards the evil. South is always towards the mystery. East is always towards what? Hoping it will get better tomorrow, the rising sun. West is always toward the mystery, the setting sun.
That's why in every city all the rich people live up north, the northern part of the city.
Except in Fort Worth. Some cities, not all. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return the... The word return is the Hebrew word shub. And it means, shub is this. Shub is turning from yourself totally. It doesn't mean changing yourself. Shub is the word also return. It's also the word for repentance. To shub... To turn is to repent. That's why your sin is hidden as far as the east is. Your sin is as far as the east is from the west from you. How far is it? Well, just how far, how quickly can you turn? How far is the east from the west? The act of repentance is the act of turning away from self. Not turning towards self to try to make self better. That's child's play. Got it? Shoot, return. Return unto me, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Can you acknowledge your iniquity? Are you still walking in the idea, is there somebody you're judging? If there's one person in the universe that you're judging, you cannot and have not acknowledged your iniquity. If there's one group of people you're judging, you have not acknowledged your own iniquity. Because you cannot be in a state of repentance, acknowledging your iniquity, while your finger's pointed. Acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Now what is Zion? We learned from the Psalms of Ascent what Zion is. They that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. I will bring you to Zion, I will give you pastors, according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Do you understand what that? Do you understand how big that is? This is 620 years BC. Everything in Judaism was towards the ark. That's where the mystery of God was. That's where the oracle of God was. That's where the mercy seat was. That's where the Torah was. Everything was on the ark. And they shall say, and here it says, in those days you shall say, no more the ark of the covenant, neither shall it come to mind. Why? Because the ark of the covenant is now within you. We are the fulfillment of this. They shall say no more the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall he remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their own evil heart. Not Jerusalem over in that two-bit piece of land they call the Holy Land. But the Jerusalem that's our overriding reality, that we shall all flow into it, according to Isaiah 66. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. They shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given them for an inheritance unto your fathers. But I said, how shall I put thee among the children and give thee a pleasant land, a goodly heritage of the hosts of nations? And I said, thou shalt call me my father, and shall not turn away from me. So how then do you participate from what we've just read in the sealing of the forehead, away from the seal and the mark of the Antichrist and towards the seal of the Holy One? How do you participate? The first step is repentance, turning totally from self. Not trying to make self better, not trying to get it right, not worrying about somebody's response to you is, but turning totally from self as though self did not exist. That's the way you participate, the first step in participating in the sealing of your own forehead. Everybody understand a little bit? Okay, the next one, Ezekiel 3. Yeah, and it's interesting, the word Zion means the dry place. There's no life there. Sion. So that from the flesh you don't see anything. Your eyes don't see any life.
So that's why it could never be anything external.
Yeah, it's not a
mountain. No, Zion was a mountain.
But it's a plain there. They said there was no mountain there.
Hmm? That was after
the economy. It's a plane.
That's after the after Ezekiel has done. I mean, Elijah has done his job, and it's a plane. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat the roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee in unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou cannot understand, surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Now the word impudent means stiff of forehead in the Hebrew. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. Now this is what it talks about in the fruit of the Spirit. Nothing can stand against the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, mercy, faith, against such there is no law, temperance, I forgot. Nothing can stand against it. And that's the forehead that it overcomes. As adamant-hearted and flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go and get thee to them of the captivity, and unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. Anyway, so what did we learn here? That the first testing of this, that the sealing of the forehead will be tested. And it will be tested to find out how you respond to people who are against you. And it will be tested by people that are supposed to be of the same like precious faith. You understand? So don't be surprised at the rejection. But don't, by definition, expect rejection and therefore say nothing. Because he has many people in this city. Understand that too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't understand that last part.
Well, you know, how much time have you spent with the people that you used to go to church with? Have you talked to any of them?
Well, you said don't fear rejection because there's many people.
No, don't just not say anything because you fear the rejection
by
whoever.
Because there's many other people.
Right, there's many people there, just like you were. Capisce?
Many people.
And many people in that religious world, just like you were, whose hearts are ready to hear the truth. So don't not say something because you expect rejection.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking rejection on the brethren, but
I was thinking the same thing he was thinking. So it's like the blood on the hands kind of thing?
The blood on the hands kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
You got that?
Got that thing, yeah.
Well, okay, I just didn't get it.
Okay. Everybody got it now?
I'm glad Lee said that.
I didn't. What's the blood on the hands kind of thing? Ezekiel?
Ezekiel 33. If you don't speak to somebody, then and they lose their life or whatever, then their blood is on your hands. But don't do it now. As adamant harder than flint, I have made thy forehead. Unless somebody doesn't look at me right. Unless I don't get the expected response.
In that case.
Unless somebody doesn't show me proper respect. You understand that the thing that's greatly lacking in us as a test is that it's like you still are waiting for somebody's response to you to define your belief. You understand that? It's like you don't know who you are, so you got to find out who you are by how somebody responds to you. You think that the believer gives a holy shit how somebody responds to him? again, remember, and again, I'm not picking on you, because what I'm saying is the last one that you will care who respond, how they respond to you, is whoever is in the position of the office of the rabbi.
Like the verse, you're not
the faces of men.
There's no condemnation.
All right. As an adamant harder than flint, I have made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get to them of the captivity, unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, Thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, Blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And then I came to them into the captivity at Tel Aviv, and dwelt by the river Chebar, and I sat there where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. The word astonished there means he couldn't speak, he couldn't hear, he was dumb by this experience that had happened. And then it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, now remember the wicked or the iniquity, the word wicked or the word iniquity in the scriptures is the Hebrew word aven, and it means self-seeking. It doesn't matter if they're self-seeking to do right. If they're self-seeking to get it right, they are wicked. They are full of iniquity. There's only abandonment or there's iniquity. There's no in-between. It doesn't matter what degree of what you think iniquity is. When they are in self-seeking, they are in iniquity. You, when you are trying to get it right, when you are trying to understand, when you are trying to learn, when you are trying to do anything, when you are trying to have some great cause, you, by definition, are in iniquity. You might as well be out raping and pillaging. There's only abandonment of self or iniquity. That's the only two places. Whatsoever things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Doesn't matter whether it's Bible study, coming to Bible study, getting spiritual. If it's a gain to you, it's a loss to Christ. Per se? I mean, do you understand?
Can I ask a question on something we read up here? When he says, I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, does that mean he didn't want to leave?
He didn't want to go.
Yeah.
What verse?
We are now in verse 18. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn that wicked from his wicked way. How many people do you know who are consumed in self-seeking in the name of God, or are consumed in self-seeking in anything, and you let them continue in it? And you don't speak anything.
Does the self-seeking there mean the same as self-effort, iniquity?
Self-anything. How many people do you know who are consumed with the American way? How many people do you know who are consumed with some cause and not speak to them? Then listen. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand.
That's the blood on my hand.
Well, it's many places in Ezekiel. The blood will I require at thine hand. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't want to know what that means. All I know is if when I see someone consumed in self-seeking and I don't speak to them, and I know that I'm up shit creek. That's why I get in so much trouble all the time. That's why we wouldn't let the damn monks wouldn't let me eat with them. Now you think I'm wild sometimes. I'm a pussycat compared to what Paul was. Now, I can't say that. Just look what that would do. Well, I want you to, if you see self-seeking and you don't speak to it, if you understand my words, if you don't understand my words, then it doesn't matter anyway. Then you're both going to die in iniquity. Do you understand? Ignorance is no excuse. Well, I never knew that. God says, tough shit. You remember what he did in Ezekiel 9? He went through the city and every man that did not have the mark in his forehead, they were slain. Man, woman, child, innocent child. Everyone was slain if they did not have the mark in their forehead. Nobody cares what you think. Do you understand? Or is that starting to get into your head? But if you see iniquity and you don't speak to it, then the blood is on your hand. If you see self-seeking and you don't speak to it, then the blood is on your hand.
Well, because some people say, well, what right do you have to say that? I mean, it's like an obligation.
It's a
believer.
It's not a right. It's a, you cannot, if you believe, you will speak. If you don't believe, it doesn't matter anyway. I believe, therefore have I spoken.
It's fear of God.
That's right.
Well, that's why I brought up what goes on at work when all different people call and stuff, and you know, my boss telling me not to get personally involved. I mean, that's why I brought it up, because I felt like it was.
Well, I know, but this doesn't have anything to do with.
It's more like people that I'm working with that I see every day.
No, it's with anybody. It doesn't matter, whoever, whatever it is. Whatever happens in your world, if you see iniquity, if you see that self-seeking, you don't speak to it, the blood's in your hand.
So especially if they come to you.
And it doesn't matter.
Me.
Doesn't matter.
I mean, if you're just standing around in a crowd, somebody's...
Well, of course not. Well, again, it's your world. When you go into your world, what is your world? Your world is your customers.
But you just drew a line there.
Okay, but if you think about it, you don't have to ask
any. You don't ever have to.
You know the answers to these questions.
Yeah.
I mean, these questions are a game. Think about it.
When it happens,
you know.
You don't even really have the impulse to say to somebody on an elevator. You know,
right, either you've got to cover it up or speak. Right?
Well, no, I do. I say it to people on the elevator and the restaurant all the time.
But it's there to say. It's not something you're bringing up.
Right. Yeah, I didn't sit around jack off getting in hot to do it.
You handed them a pamphlet afterward.
Right.
Yet if thou warn the wicked. Now, first of all, can everybody agree? Is there anybody that wants to get in a discussion about this? That wicked iniquity means self-seeking, self-effort? Does anybody not understand that? All right, good. Your silence has hung you.
Well,
yet if thou wilt warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Laying down your life, giving up your interest for somebody around you is the only way that righteousness is. I mean, but it's total. I mean, it's like you can't be righteous and worry about whether you're going to heaven or not. You know what I mean?
Righteousness is your death and someone else's life.
That's right. I speak, I die, they live. Okay. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Again, does that like send a little bitty shiver up your spine to have God say, his blood will I require at your hand? Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell on my face. And the Spirit entered into me, and I set me upon my the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet, and spake with me, and said unto me, go shut thyself within thine house. But thou, son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, they shall bind thee with them, thou shalt not go out among them. I'll make thy tongue cleave to thy roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. In other words, God said, forget it. They've had it. They're dead meat. Ezekiel wanted to continue to talk to him. So God made Ezekiel's tongue to cleave to the roof of his mouth so he couldn't say a word. Mm-hmm.
He could work for the
transit. Yeah, he could. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Try to think about it. Try to say something with your tongue to the roof of your mouth.
What are you yelling?
You have to take elocution lessons.
Not to the front of your teeth, to your tongue to the roof of your mouth.
What are you yelling?
You can still do it if you look at the tip of your tongue.
You can't look with him in your phone from
left. We're talking cleave. We're talking said, major.
We're talking cleaving, not flapping around in there.
Okay. Yeah, everybody, you know, it's like those dick cleaning commercials.
We're going to get some, that, what she said.
So you can clench your jaw at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear. He that forbeareth, let him forbear. For they are a rebellious house. Okay, so what have we learned about the seal? The first step on it is repentance, turning from self. The second step is what? Speaking. Opening your mouth.
But you can't open your mouth until you turn.
That's right. If you open your mouth before you turn, you become a religious.
Yeah, and then you'll really be in big trouble, because that's like one of those roller people.
Right, that'll be like, you'll be the one that somebody's going to come and talk to you about.
Excuse me, can I speak with you? John
Bennett? Hey, brother, can
I? Let's check. Okay, Isaiah 48.
I guess the first time I've really heard Isaiah 48 doing the right thing is also supposed
to hear ye this.
For all ears.
Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the names of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord, and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness. You get, like, make mention of them.
I'm sorry. For some reason, it just flashed back when I was starting to come here. It was like two or three Bible studies, and I had already decided that Harry really did run this place. And it just flashed on me what a crazy thought that was.
No. That hasn't flashed on Harry yet.
Yeah. Is there a problem here? Yeah. Is there a problem?
Just put it in your
head. Harry's
He said in the power seat.
Yeah.
Wow.
Should say director on the back.
I don't have the microphone.
Huh?
I don't have the microphone.
Yeah, but you run the microphone. You run the microphone. Where are we? 48. For they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the Lord, upon the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. because I knew that thou art obstinate. Thy neck is as iron sinew, and thy brow of brass. Now, to have the forehead of brass is now it's even getting worse. It's not just hard, but brass is always symbolic of judgment. So all you do in your thoughts is judge. Constant. Judge, 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 judge. You open your mouth, you judge. You look around, you judge. You know anybody like that? So again, we see another aspect of the wrong forehead. I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it thee, lest thou should say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. Thou hast heard, see all this, and will not ye declare it? I have showed thee new things from this time, even hidden things, and thou didst not know them. They are created now and not from the beginning, even before the day when thou heardest them, lest thou should say, behold, I knew them. Yea, thou heardest not, yea, thou knowest not, yea, from that time that thine ear was not opened, for I knew that thou wouldest deal very treacherously, and was called a transgressor from the womb. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain from thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. For mine own sake, even mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory unto another. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel, my call, I am he, I am the first, I am also the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All you assemble yourselves and hear, which among them hath declared these things? The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken, yea, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that I was there, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. And thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord, thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. O that thou hast hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go you forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans with a voice of singing. Declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. Though they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts, and he caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them, he clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Contrasting of the brass and judgment versus the mind of God. Anyway, more about being sealed in the forehead. That's enough for tonight.
I
want to
just talk a
minute
about this fear of reaction primarily as regards to only hearing his reaction. Sometimes I just get down because it seems like this. It just goes on and on, and I know it's iniquity, I know it's sin.
But you can't permit it for one second.
Right.
The moment it starts, you got to talk to somebody. If you don't can't talk to me, go talk to somebody else.
Yeah, sometimes you hear things like, you know, I mean, you've heard of a ton of times, but you think you're hearing them like for the first time, and the thing you were talking a while ago about, you know, trying to get it right is also self-seeking. Trying to even think about salvation or something like that, or spiritual activity is self-seeking, and that's just like, I mean, that hit me because my religious background, which I still carry all that baggage, is, you know, tells me I've got to do this or I've got to do that, and I've just got to be out of there because that doesn't mean anything. It's irrelevant in the context of what that is.
Okay.
I was thinking about this the other night when we were back home, when we were visiting my folks for Christmas. My aunt came over and got into it. I mean, kind of picked a fight with me about this place, which she knows nothing about. Anyway, it made me think about what does the scripture mean when it says, they shall know that they are saved? You know what I'm talking about?
Where does it say that?
That you may know that you're saved. Something like that.
Isn't that a song?
Mm-hmm. I think your theology is coming from your songs. Saved is a... Hear me. The first thing you have to do is get rid of the idea of what saved is.
Yeah.
What is saved?
You're going to heaven.
What the hell does that mean?
You're not burning in hell.
Well, what does it mean to go to heaven? Does anybody ever think about that? What does that mean? What are you going to do? Sit there on a cloud and play a harp or some other idiotic thing? What are you going to do?
It's like I saw a cartoon in the paper.
I mean, nobody, the problem is that the idiocy of it is no one that says they believe that believes it. It's a game your mind plays with itself. It's nobody believes they want to go to heaven. Think about it. What are you going to do there? I mean, if this is such a big, important deal, then tell me about how important it is and tell me what it's like so I can maybe go there with you.
Well, I don't know. Heaven, where God is.
What does that mean?
All that.
You don't have an explanation for it.
That's right.
So what you're doing is you're playing a game with your mind. You're still doing it. You got to get rid of that religious horseshit. You never believed it in the first place. Tell me, I know you. Heaven is the last place you wanted to go. I know you, Sherry.
Hello. Sherry would be bored in heaven.
Your religious bullshit definition of heaven is the last place you wanted to go.
Well, no, it wouldn't be, because I wouldn't want my ass to burn in hell.
You don't even know what that means. Don't you see? You're playing with straw men. Get to reality before you start asking the questions. Otherwise, you can't even discuss it.
Okay,
Your heart wants. Find out what the scriptures say. Search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. First of all, to be saved in the scriptures, if you believe Peter says they were saved in this, we are saved in the same way that Noah was saved. They're saved from the world. Now then a new thing takes place. An adventure begins. Salvation is the beginning, not the end.
The other thing about, you know, having your aunt pick a fight with you is like, you know, you don't have to justify anything.
I want you to, and I'm not picking on you, I want you to push all these buttons to find out what you believe. I mean, go to the gut, go to your emotions. Not to some intellectual thing that you learned in Sunday school, which has as much honesty and I mean it's a mile wide and a micron thin.
It's also a thing of blind faith. You don't need to know. You don't need to ask. You just accept this, and then everything will, you know.
I remember. I just had a flashback. I remember when I was 6 years old in catechism. I challenged the priest about what his description of heaven sounded boring. I remember that just like it just happened yesterday.
I remember thinking, when somebody explained
the rapture, and then there's like supposedly 7 years after that that you have to...
In a yo-yo.
Yeah, right, that you have to clean up your act. I thought, well, screw the rapture. I mean, when everybody's gone, I'll know. If I can't clean up my act in 7 years after everybody's just disappeared, I'm a bonehead.
I can do what I want until the moon turns red.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And then one night the moon turned red.
Right.
It reminded me of today. I took a nap, and I started thinking about all kinds of weird things. And one of the things that I thought about was just going back. It was like hell, but I was going back in time, and I had to watch each of the generations, my
family.
That's
a great thing.
And I was watching and seeing the suffering.
Wow.
And seeing the not getting it right. And that was hell to me, is to sit and just keep watching that for eternity.
Watching people not get it right. That's what happened to me when I had that sort of out-of-body thing when I was in the Schatzkammer in Vienna. And I saw that it was where they have the lance that Christ was crucified. And I lost it. I mean, I went boom, boom. And I saw, I saw millions of people going to churches or climbing mountains or going here all to get something. And it was all finished with that when the blood hit that. I mean, just think of all the people, everybody going someplace trying to get something, they got a little deal, or they got a plan, or they got a thing, all right? It's a constant. It's just asinine.
We sat here and watched The Exorcist Friday night, and that was really something for me, because the last time I saw that, I mean, it was like, the earth moved, and it was terrible, and now it's like silly.
Child's
were
play.
You, were you high the first time?
No, I wasn't. No.
No. He hadn't been to any hot seats before the first time.
I hadn't been to the ranch. But when I went in to go to sleep, as I was falling asleep in that state halfway here and there, it was like I was thinking about Satan. And I realized that all Satan is me with given authority and power and all of time to perfect being me. And this thing about the law of diminishing returns and being insatiable, and if that, I mean, that's all it is. I would do and be exactly what that creature does and is, given the power and the authority and the time to do it.
Does your mind go between that state of when you're just about asleep, but you're really not asleep, but your mind starts thinking about all kinds of weird things?
Alpha waves.
I mean, they're just weird stuff. I mean, I was like,
on the way to
what
beta
are you
waves.
Thinking about?
Well, it's several things. It's the different, because of the relaxing, it's a different brain wave. But it's also, when that transpires, the inhibitions go.
Yeah, isn't that like almost so, how you did induction?
Yeah, and it's pretty neat. I mean, you can. One of the fun things to do is to see if you can keep in that state.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
for,
especially while you're.
You can train yourself.
But you can do it all night. Just stay in that state all night.
Or use that state to relax in the middle of the day.
Well, because it's just to see what happens. I mean, it's like going on a trip.
Yeah, it's
tricky. Sometimes you hit that state.
It's like sorcery or something.
No, it's just staying there, seeing what's going on.
You didn't do enough drugs, Ed.
Drugs.
But when you do that the next day, you don't know whether you're awake or not all day. I mean, it's like,
well, I mean, you can't do it if you got to go drive from here to Timbuktu. You go boom.
Really disorienting.
Yeah, you go boom.
I don't want to be here anymore. Take a big guy.